Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Happy Tuesday night to you folks, and welcome to Got Your Back. Live streaming tonight on YouTube and on Twitter, we've got Rob Brown and Jason Strudwick standing by. And yes, tonight, we don't do it often, but every once in a while, the Zuby Wed game. Been a month or so, month or two. So in segment number two tonight, the extravaganza that's sweeping the nation, Game Show Tuesday. Got Your Back, as always, is brought to you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Long Shots, available for corporate events, so much more than just golf. And of course, as always, Got Your Back is provided by our very proud title sponsors, Sherwood Buick GMC. Have you seen what Sherwood Buick GMC is doing lately? Since 2018, they've been named the number one volume GMC dealership in this country. This month, they're going to the moon with the goal of selling 400 cars. They're going nuts, and that means there's deals to be had. If you or any of the listeners out there are even remotely interested in getting into a new or used vehicle, head to Sherwood Buick GMC, 10 Auto Mall Road on the way into Sherwood Park. They're working every deal this month to reach this monumental goal. Every once in a while, Phil has these harebrained ideas, and this is one of them. Wants to see if he can do it, so it's going to get approved. Head down to Sherwood Buick GMC and check it out. GMCpod.com is the website where you can check out all that they have to offer. The whole crew on board for this Tuesday night. There's a smiling brownie, a pensive looking strutty. Zuby, how's your mood tonight, buddy? How are you doing behind the scenes?
Oh, just a bucket of nerves. I always get this is the big show here.
It's a big night for you. Zuby Wed night is big for him. Hey, fellas, that's like, this is his chance to shine.
Especially pressure. when you decide Tuesday morning, hey, let's do Zuby Wed game tonight.
I don't know. The bar's been set, Zuby. I mean, you could forget the name of your game tonight, and it won't even be as bad as what Struds did the other night in Struddy's world. So.
Yeah, this is true. Amazing. I was watching. I was actually watching it on my computer, working on something else, and I had to pop it over. My wife watched with us and with me, and we had a good laugh together. Forgetful
moment, not my best moment.
Senior moment,
not my best moment in my life. Yeah, not my best moment. I'll admit that was an error.
Buddy, it was so good. It was so beautifully Struds. It was awesome, man.
Actually, like, the best part was the video that was sent out. That was just his voice, where it took us away, where we weren't laughing.
And stuff. I know. The concert. It was good. The concert music. Loved it. And I love how Zuby turned it into a promo and put it out on Twitter for the world to see.
Oh, that was Steve. Let's give Steve cut a very good Steve that night. Yeah, he cut a very good promo. Yeah, that was excellent.
Struddy, did you get some feedback on that in the last few days?
Oh yeah. I went to tennis today and someone says, "We're surprised you remembered to come today." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice. Thank you."
Anything else? So good. That's so good. Hey, do you know what we did tonight? We had a birthday party here at the house for my son Kai, who's turning 20. And every once in a while, the kids will do this. They went digging around on Twitter. They get great amusement out of this, and we're digging out mean tweets about me from the depths of the Twitter muck, guys. Holy smokes! I had no idea the level of vitriol that's out there. And frankly, for the pod, guys, like, there's quite a bit about the pod out there, about us being like, people perceive us as hating Evan Bouchard and this and that. But it's quite jarring, Strutty, you know, to have your 17-year-old daughter reading profane, mean tweets to you around the birthday cake. Kind of an interesting exercise.
They didn't get any of those off of my Twitter feed, did they?
Your ghost account.
I better go back and check, guys. I gotta leave.
Yeah. Is it just me? Am I the only one that gets that? Like, Brownie, you don't have social media, so I guess you don't have to worry about it. But
no, I'm not on nothing. So don't know anything about the Twitter world. Pardon?
If you're on Twitter, you get it. Everyone gets it. Yeah. Everyone's an expert in everything. And so, but I always try to just return with love. I'm always like, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening.
You handle it pretty well, Strud. Do you ever legitimately go back at anyone though? Like, do you ever fire someone a DM and engage them? Do you ever like challenge people a little bit? Like, how do you handle it when you feel it's really offside or you don't like it?
This many years ago, I put a tweet out there and someone said something really bad about my mother and sister. Oh, God. And so I went back and I looked into their thing and I saw their, they played in a men's league and it was like Rob Brown's Plumbing. They had on. So I called Rob. I got the number for Rob Brown's Plumbing. I called it and left a message. I called it repeatedly and said, hey, this guy on Twitter said this about my thing. I'd love to have a conversation with you, the owner, and this particular person. And I left multiple messages and I never heard back. And I went back and found that guy. It was scrubbed. There was nothing on there.
Come on. Said,
I'd love to meet with you. I'd love to sit down and have a chat with this guy. I want to do a face-to-face. Like, I was pretty upset. And obviously the guy backed down. But I was like, I'll come anywhere and we'll talk about this conversation. So I love it. Like, I take it personally. You go right to where they work and bang, sweet.
You see what you're missing, Brownie? See all the fun you're missing?
No, I don't need it. I'm fine being in the dark with the whole social media.
I don't think anyone wants to listen to me. I try and stay out of the mud. I gave in last week. Somebody, I don't know what they just pissed me off. And I was tired and I was sick and I was like, so I went at him. I went at, like, every once in a while, I'll go at someone in a DM and I'll just be like, do you always talk to people like this? Like, this is just monumentally rude. Like, who talks to people like this? And then, but I think I got mad and called him a dipshit or something. Like, I like got right down into the muck and called him a name. And then someone sent it to me. He like tweeted my DM or something. It was just, and then you just regret it after. Like, what am I doing? Like, the number of people on Twitter that are willing to do that compared to the people that are just following along and enjoying the content and disagreeing or agreeing or whatever. But you're just, it's like the 0.5% that are the loud ones, Strudy. But every once in a while, it gets you.
Yeah, you never DM. You never DM anything negative, ever. Because that follows you around more than the original comment. I will never, ever DM anything bad to anybody.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be listening. Now, for face-to-face and you don't have your phone out, I might say something different.
You might have a few words. Some of the stuff coming out of my children's mouths today at the dinner table, I can't believe it. But, hey, that is Twitter sometimes. And we appreciate and love most of our followers. Okay, guys, a couple of different topics we're going to dive into tonight before we get to the Zuby Wed game. So let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They perform services from oil changes to engine swaps, overhauls, modified engine work as well. The crew at Adrenaline, they are there to get your truck or trailer in great shape like it's right out of the factory. Drop in or check them out at adrenalinediesel.ca. I'll go big picture first here because I was asking some players this question today. We were batting around the idea a little bit on our call this morning with the producers at TSN. Is it possible for a division title to be achievable for the Oilers? Is it doable? It feels unlikely and probably is, but there's a 10-point spread. They've got three games in hand. They've got one head-to-head against the Vancouver Canucks. We've seen how streaky the Oilers can be this year. So Struds, I'll put it to you first. You look at the standings. What's your sense on if it's achievable and if it's something they should have as a goal for themselves, a stated goal among them?
Well, it's amazing what the ground they made up and where they are. I didn't think they'd get into the top three. And here they are now second, which is amazing. I think there is an opportunity because of Demko's injury. And, you know, Casey DeSmith now takes over. He's the guy that is in charge. Now, you know, I've been trying to read reports, and I don't read, you know, very clearly what week to week means that he should be back before the playoffs. So that's a big difference. Week to week is not before the playoffs, right? So I think there's an opportunity for that to happen. The three games and then the one against them, that's 8 points. And now you only got to make up two, but you're running out of time. And then how much energy do you want to dedicate to funneling into that idea? Yeah, it'd be great to finish first. But I think for the Oilers, their goal needs to be continue to solidify their game. So I think it's unlikely, possible, but unlikely. Brownie?
Yeah, I think with the injury to Demko, it opens up the door. Demko, he's having an MVP type season for Vancouver. He's that good. And gives them a chance to win every night. There's a lot of people that didn't think the Oilers would make the playoffs. There's a lot that certainly didn't think they'd be where they are, yet they are. So they're capable of putting together a streak. I don't think it's going to be a stated goal in the dressing room, But they certainly want to, as Knobloch says, we plan on trying to win hockey games. And if at the end of the regular season we've won enough of them and we have the division, great. To me, it doesn't matter. Home ice doesn't matter in the playoffs anymore. The Oilers are just as good on the road as they are on home ice. For me, the Oilers getting to the playoffs healthy should be your number one goal. Anything other than that is just a bonus.
Going to get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox right away here, because McDavid had an interesting answer when I asked him this question today. We'll remind you that sunny days are back, and if your mind is on summer, be ready to take advantage of Weiss Johnson's sale. 25% off all in-stock air conditioners going on right now. It's your Edmonton's first choice for all your heating, air conditioning, and plumbing needs. Check out Weiss-Johnson.com for details. Jingle. Timing, solid timing. Connor McDavid, when I put the idea to him that, is it a goal? Should it be a goal? How are you approaching it?
This shift has just been focusing on ourselves. I think at the beginning of the year, there was lots of expectation, and guys kind of got lost in that a little bit. And obviously you saw the start that we had. So I think for us, it's just about the day-to-day. I know it's super cliche and that type of thing, but for us, we just got to stay day to day, focus on what we got to do, play good hockey, and that stuff will follow.
So yes, a lot of that was cliche, but there was some value in there, Brownie, with him talking about how we were focused on that early in the year. There were some expectations and they got caught up in that a little bit, and so maybe a bit of a cautionary comment from McDavid about how getting too wrapped up in where you're at in the standings and all that kind of stuff maybe isn't the best thing for his group. So I don't think he's just saying that. I think there's a cautionary, you know, comment there from McDavid about the dangers of getting wrapped up in that chase.
Well, 100%. Because if they were to come out and say, you know what, our goal is to win the division. That is our goal. We actually not only want to win the division, we want to win the conference. And then they lose two. Now all the questions come. Well, okay, you guys just lost two, and these guys have done this. Is there more pressure on you now? And then the questions keep coming, and the pressure keeps coming. And eventually the pressure just is too much weight for them to handle. And that's what we saw at the beginning of the season. So I think they understand now, just simplify. And that's why most teams, and Stretti, I'm sure that you played on the teams, where the coach put five-game segments or eight-game segments. Let's just worry about this five-game. Because if you have a bad five-game segment, you get to move quickly to the next five-game segment and flush the one before. If you're just thinking big picture and all of a sudden things go sideways, well, now everybody just heaps on. So I think what Connor McDavid said is exactly what they're preaching in their dressing room. We just got to get a little bit better each game. Just every single game, get a little bit better. And at the end of the season, wherever we are, at least we've got our game in place.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just like a weight loss program. If you decide you're going to lose 100 pounds and you're starting tomorrow, that's just way too much. You got to make it in manageable bites. And I think that's what Connor's talking about. And I love that approach by that team.
I'll tell you what's interesting. What really makes me believe it's going to be tough, guys. Have you seen the Vancouver Canucks schedule? The Canucks are on a 9-game homestand right now. 9 games in a row at home. 11 of their final 16 are on home ice. Like, they had some tough grinding. They played more games than anybody, and they only have a couple of, what do they have left for travel? Like, they basically don't even have to leave the time zone for the rest of the year. Vegas, Arizona, LA, Winnipeg. They got nothing left for travel on the schedule and nothing but home games. And I think that even though Demko is hurt, it feels like a pretty tall order given the situation with the schedule alone for the Oilers to overcome that. Back to the Weiss Johnson soundbox. Here's Nugent Hopkins on the same thing.
Of course, being higher in the standings gives you a home ice advantage in the playoffs. And I don't think the matchups once you get to the playoffs, I mean, everybody is competitive, and it's the parity in the league is high, so it's you don't really say, okay, well, we finish here, we're playing them, and blah blah blah. But I think it's good to have home ice, so I think it's something that we can strive for, and just give us a little more motivation down the stretcher.
It'll be interesting to see, and they've been streaky, right? They've shown they can pile together a bunch of wins. So at the same time, it's not that you're going to state it as your goal and make a huge deal of it. But, I mean, you start winning some games, Brownie, and everyone's going to be thinking it, and that's fine. That's good. That's healthy.
Well, it also goes to their winning streak they had. I mean, they didn't talk about it. The media talked about it. They didn't. They just went out and won a game. Oh, then they won another game. And really, there wasn't a lot of focus on it in the dressing room, probably until games 15, 16, 17. So if they start making a bit of a push here, they probably won't start really thinking about it till games 79, 80, 81, if there is a possibility at that point. So right now, just focus on their game. I think their game is trending in the right direction, but I'm not sure they're happy right now with where they are, and they just want to continue to get better. So saying we have to go or we're trying to catch Vancouver is a stated goal. I think that's just too much, as Struddy said. Keep it small picture.
Struds, bigger, smaller picture question here. They've recently changed up the D pairings, right? We've seen that Vinny Dernay has taken some more minutes next to Darnell Nurse after basically an entire season of it being Cody Ceci. What do you think the returns have been on that? And when the playoffs start, do you think that's the way it'll be?
Well, every day we see it, the more it makes me believe it will start like this. And, you know, Vinny hasn't done anything to lose the spot. And I is it an audition? You can call it whatever you want. But, you know, if he continues to move the puck like he has, defend like he has, you know, you're probably not going to move him out of there. And that's really the thing. I think CeCe can play well and he can maybe move back up. But I think it's more about 73. If he plays well, he stays. If he plays poorly, he's backed off, Brownie.
Well, I agree. I think it's just it's an audition. They like this setting. And they'll just see going forward. As they get closer to the end of the season, the games get a little bit tougher. The points become a little more important. And that's when you really see where players shine and where players struggle. So this is Desharnais. Well, I think, Strides, this is Desharnais' spot to lose. So right now it's his spot. And he's going to have to take a bit of a nosedive for him to be moved out of that spot. And again, game one, game two of the whatever the first round series is, things could all change again if things go sideways.
Yeah, Struds made the great call, Brownie. I'm not sure if you were on the pod a couple of months ago when he talked about how the Oilers need to get to Desharnais and start talking contract and get it done because the time is now to get this done. And now it's interesting, Struds, because there's some increased responsibility. He's playing well. His game's upticking. And this is an important year for him. So with this, if it goes this way and he ends up being able to lock this spot down in a significant way, that's some... some major ammo in his department for that contract negotiation.
He's been a 6-7 in my mind, right? Now he's maybe moving to a 4-5. So 6-7s are paid nicely. 4-5s are paid nicer. And he's a UFA. So, you know, my point was maybe a month ago, I said, you know, I think you should approach him. There's an emotional attachment to it and say, buddy, we'll give you, I think it was more about term than the actual salary. So look, we're going to give you whatever, $7.5 million over 4 years or whatever it's going to be, but just a longer contract. And I think he may have taken it, but now, you know, I might be the guy, if I'm Desharnais, I'm taking the dice and I'm holding them and I'm going to throw those bones. And I'm hoping that I go 2-3 rounds at least playing in this, in and around this 4-5 spot. And then I say to the owner, say, this is a number, man. No. Okay. I'll go to free agency.
Yeah, and I believe there were some probably some discussions over the last few months. Nothing too firm, though. It'll be interesting to see if that's something that they dig in on here with trade deadline behind them and with an eye towards the playoffs. Sometimes these, you know, we'll see these deals come through kind of in this little soft spot before the playoffs happen. We've seen contracts get done in this window. To the power play, Brownie, real quick here. Their last six games, they're 1-for-17 are the numbers I had. They're at fifth overall right now at just under 26%. Remember, they were 32% last year. So it is a drop-off for sure. I don't know. What's your level of concern, Brownie, that if the Oilers' power play isn't the sharpest that it can possibly be down the stretch and into the playoffs, how much of a concern is that for you? And what have you seen on it?
Well, they're 1-for-17, and the one goal was scored by their second unit too. It wasn't even the first unit that
great
scored.
Great point by you.
And there's a couple. There was a couple 5-and-3s that were involved in that too that they didn't score on. I got no concern. It's Connor and Leon and Nuge and Hyman and Bouchard. It's the same group that was 34% last year. Now, obviously, teams are going to do a better job of scouting and trying to figure out ways to slow them down. And if there's a team that has had a good record against them, other teams will get the video and try to emulate it. But the one thing that we've seen with Connor and Leon and the entire power play unit, that if they find other teams are taking something away, well, then they add a new wrinkle to it. So I've got zero concern about the Edmonton Oilers power play. None at all.
I'm with you. There's other things that are on the forefront of my mind, more than that power play. That power play will find a way.
46% in the playoffs last year. That's a thing. I mean, it was unreal. They were 9-23 against Vegas, 9-16 against the LA Kings. And they still wasn't enough to get them through. Like, Vegas's power play wasn't anywhere near that, and they ended up winning. So it's not always the answer, Brownie.
No, well, it's funny. You have a 50% power play in the playoffs, and you don't get through the second round. That goes to Strudz's point. There's other things on the front burner. If your power play is clicking at that and you still can't move on, you've got other things you got to fix. So if you want to go on the glass half full, their power play is 1-17 in the last six games, and they're 4-1-1. So they're finding ways to win hockey games, and they're much better 5-on-5 lately in scoring goals. So there are some positives that have come out of this last group of games with a power play that has struggled.
All right, Strudy, going to tap you here for the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCAN Youth Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out all they have to offer at www.ucan.ca for more information. Not a game night tonight, Strudy, so it's kind of wide open for you, bud, to pull something out of thin air. Who's getting the Relentless Award today?
Well, obviously a D-man's going to get it. We know it's the hardest position in sports. Bowen Byram gets a couple goals for Buffalo tonight. So Bowen Byram recently moved over from Colorado and seems to be settling in, playing well north of 20 minutes a night.
A lot of people looked at that with their eyebrow raised, us included, sure. Quite frankly, because of all the lefties there.
Yep.
But is it Power that's playing over on the right side?
No, I think Byram's playing with Dahlin.
Yeah.
Is Byram the one that's moved?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so. That's what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some swagger out there, man, when he plays. I like the way he skates around. Like, he knows what his skill level is. Kale McCarr aside, that guy has some serious swagger and some serious game, Brownie.
Yeah, he does. It's funny. I played with his father. His father did not have the skill level. He had the swagger. Didn't have the skill level. His father was a hardworking minor league forward. Great guy. Fantastic guy. The kid obviously got his mom's skills, and he's very, very good. Although, you see tonight, I think Mittelstadt scored for Colorado tonight. So I think that might be a trade that works out for both
teams. For sure. I think you're right, buddy.
A couple comments from the stream. Last year, a couple of posts, bad bounces sunk us. Should have beaten Vegas last year. McFoseidel says they'll unleash the power play in the playoffs. Teams catch on too quick. Been a tough stretch for the power play recently, says Maraschino Cherry. Are you a maraschino cherry guy, Strudz?
I am not, no.
No. Yeah. Does anybody like those?
No.
Awful.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Really bad.
They're like the pecan of fruit.
I thought pecan. What?
Cashew.
Pecan's a nut.
The cashew.
You can't remember which nut he hates.
I don't like any of them. Well, those ones.
They're awesome. The journey of nuts.
That was the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night, and it's Bowen Byram. By the way, I want to extend our thoughts and well wishes to the entire Dubé family. Today was a very difficult day as they laid Kyle to rest, and so did Jeanette and Liam and Jax and the whole family. Very much thinking about you today. And look forward to honoring Kyle and having some laughs at UCAN's comedy nights coming up here this week. Brownie, I know you were part of things today too. And really difficult day, but beautiful honor for him. I thought I saw UCAN tweet that it was Kyle Dubé Day that it was named in the city of Edmonton, which is pretty amazing. And we're going to have some fun at the comedy nights in his honor.
Yeah, and both the city of St. Albert and the city of Edmonton named it Kyle Dubé Day today on March 12th. The service was incredible. It was incredible. A lot of tears today. So love to the family.
By the way, there is a GoFundMe that has been put in place. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult times for the family. So if you check my Twitter feed, I've tweeted it a couple of times in the last 24 hours. If you have the opportunity to check it out, much appreciated. And we wish, again, the entire family our deepest condolences on this a pretty tough day. Okay, when we come back, let's lighten up the mood a little bit. We're going to play the Zuby, the third installment of the Zuby Wed game. For those who have been paying attention, I'm a champion. Brownie's a champion. Strudz is the only one that has yet to pull a W in this game. So it'll be him pitted against me in how well we know Rob Brown. The Zuby Wed game is coming up.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Longshots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Time now for the Zuby Wed Game, brought to you by Martin Motorsports. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, head to Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show at the Expo Center to visit the great folks at Martin Motorsports. I'm sure Chris and company will be down there showing off their wares. On display, the whole lineup of power sports products, Sea-Doos and switches for your next summer adventure, Ski-Doos so you're ready for next winter, plus Spiders, Rikers, Zero Motorcycles. Head on down to the show March 14th to 17th. Stop by the Martin Motorsports booth. Tell them Got Your Back sent you, and they'll show you all kinds of wicked cool stuff. If you've never been to the shop, it is well worth your time. Zuby, take over, my friend. Give us your Pat Sajak. Pretty good animation for a lower budget show.
Oh yes, it's time once again for the Zuby Wed Game, the third and probably final installment, but who knows, you never know. Back by, as I said on the in the write-up, back by, let's say, demand. I won't demand. Go so far as saying popular demand, but
is in your boss demanded we do it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay. So we'll have our quick brief of the rules. The rules are simple. I'm going to ask Brownie this time. He's our subject, a series of 8 questions. He's going to answer them in an honest manner. Rashog and Strutty have already seen these questions and predicted how their goal is to predict how Brownie's going to answer it, not their own feelings necessarily. They'll say their predicted answers out loud and also hold up a card that they have written the answer on to prove they haven't changed their answer. Matches get a point. Non-matches do not. Player with the most points after 8 rounds wins. I'm the judge on close calls. We may leave it to the stream too. And there are a couple questions here that have multiple, might be worth more than 1 point. So
sure.
That's
the rules are loose. A Northern Farm Girl is already cheering for Struds. She chimed in and said, "Let's go Strutty, win one, A," and then sent her usual 3 or 4 emojis. So Strutty, you've got a cheering section.
Thank you. I feel very confident. I'll be at least top 2.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, question number 1, Brownie, here we go. Assuming that Connor, Leon, Hyman, and Nuge are all in the top 6, what other 2 players do you think will join them in the top 6 for game 83? So there's 2 players to name here. Who do you think it's going to be, and 2 points to be earned if the fellas can match them both?
To start for game 83, top 6 players in the lineup, Kane and Henrique.
All right, let's go to Strutty. Strutty, who you got?
Brown.
We got one.
You thought he was going to say Connor Brown?
Okay. I was a little bit selfish. That was my own answer.
You're trying to predict what he's going to say.
I'm trying to start it. I know what's going, but I'm trying to get some momentum going for Brown to move up the lineup.
So okay. I like it. All right.
You got one there, Shoggy. What do you got?
Oh, yes.
One of those and one of those. Okay. So Shoggy.
The best part
one.
Is I was looking at yours, Strutty, and I'm trying to figure out who number 28 was. I'm like, who did I miss?
Oh, call it. Call
it. So he said Henrique and Kane, right? So we both got a point.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. You guys each got a point there.
Very good.
Okay, Brownie, here we get a little more personal here. Question number two. Which one of these would be your preferred outing? A mani-pedi massage day at the spa, dinner at a favorite restaurant and a movie, or a monster truck rally with the arena food?
Okay, not number three.
No, okay.
No. Ooh, that's a... Well, I mean, I like both of them, but the one that we usually pick, my wife and I, is number two. We go out to our favorite restaurant and we go to movies.
Which do you prefer? I take number two. Now, what do you do more often? Which do you prefer? Zuby, push him for an accurate answer here.
Well, we got an answer.
I'm going to go number two. I really go. I enjoy going out for dinner.
I think I know what shot you pick. Let's
take a number two. What a deuce. Brutal.
Both of us.
Oh, that's
what a both dud. Went with the soft route, Brownie. I thought for sure that would be your jam.
Absolute dud.
I do. I would enjoy that, but I really like going. I like food and I love movies.
Yeah. The Dr. Carpi also agrees. Mani-pedi. There's a few mani-pedis on the show. That's how
I just
you're
went
viewed,
for sushi Brownie. The other night in Dune, and I had a wonderful evening.
Yeah. What'd you think of Dune, by the way?
Loved it. It was really good. I thought it was good. There were a couple times that I had to have my wife whisper, okay, who's that again?
Yeah.
But that was only a couple times.
I thought they took on a little bit too much. The scope of the story was a little bit too big and ended up being a little bit too long. Didn't enjoy it as much of the first. It just tried to do a little bit too much, but well executed overall.
Francis Ford Coppola over there.
I'm way behind. I just watched Top Gun Maverick the other day. So I'm like 2 years behind on.
Oh, neat.
The first Dune was so boring. I'm not going to watch the second one.
Are you serious? You didn't like the first Dune?
No.
Reboot Dune or 80s Dune? Any Dune.
Most
the first Dune. One was so bad. Like the original. I tried watching it before I went and watched this new reboot. But I really liked the reboot. I thought it was excellent.
Tell you what, Stardy, the next time me and my daughter go to a lot of movies. We went to Kung Fu Panda 4 on Friday. Oh, next time we do that, I'll invite you. Because that one was really good.
Yeah. I know I want to see that one. That's what I want to see. A little zip, a little bit of pizzazz.
Keep me interested. All right, keep us moving, Zuby. You're doing a crummy job of keeping us moving.
You guys letting it flow. You guys got, it's 1-1 here. Question number three. Brownie, this is a good one. What is the dollar figure it would take for you to never touch a golf club again? How much money would someone have to give you? What's the threshold number? And in this instance, don't expect the guys to get it bang on. So it'll be whoever's closest gets the point here.
But like really, Brownie?
For real. Never really. Golf again.
Someone's going to give number. You X amount of money, you can never golf again.
Can't ever touch a club. That's it. You're done with the game. Take a minute. I'm fascinated by this answer.
this is tough because
you have a price. Just say it. We know you have a price.
It's a little bit of a personal question, actually. I kind of like
$2 million.
Ooh.
$2 million. Okay, let's start. That's high. Let's start with Shogger on this one. What do you got?
He's going bullshit. All right, Brownie, don't be insulted by this.
I can't read it. I got the wrong glasses.
$750K I've got.
That's pretty good too.
Which is significant sum of money.
It is, but I still got another 20 years of golfing in me.
Yeah.
And that takes me away from my house for 5 to 10 hours a day.
Okay, Strutty, did you get this one?
That's what you got. This is going to be
embarrassing. So I put the number, I worked differently. I said, how many years are you going to golf for? And then what is that per year? So I put around $400,000 to $600,000 a year. Grand total, 10 mil.
Oh. 10 million.
Well, to be honest, if you give me 10 million, I will never look at a golf course.
10 mil.
All right, Shogger was close. 10 million. My quick math there.
Strutty, what's your number?
Or
did you just pick your own number again? You just answered for yourself.
Because he loves it. He loves golfing. I know, he's really good at it. It's the one place where his body looks normal. And so I thought for sure. And that's a compliment.
If you saw my golfing group, you would say I was hot.
Okay, it's 2-1 Shogger. 2-1 Shogger.
I was way closer.
You were by 1.25. Strutty was 8 mil over. question number four. Evan Bouchard's shot is often referred to as the Bouch bomb. At its peak, Brownie, what would your shot have been called?
A puffball.
Oh. Puffball? That's your answer? Puffball?
The Brownie puffball.
My shot would have been... at the peak, accurate.
Accurate. That's an like accurate puffball. That's not a nickname. That's like a
description. Okay, here.
Well, he's not good at nicknames. Come on.
He's Brownie.
Mr. Accurate.
I just put IE on the end of anything.
Yeah.
What would my shot have been?
Okay, Zuby, can we change this around? Can Struds and I show him our guesses and he can pick the one he likes better?
Sure, how's that? How about, yeah, we can.
Well, that's a good idea.
Is that fair, Struds?
You guys got creative, yeah?
That's fine. You agree with that game?
That's fine.
Okay, let's see it on this one. Okay, what do you got, Shogger?
You're going to have to say it because I'm wearing my wife's glasses and I can't read anything.
Rob's giant rocket.
We're talking about my shot, right?
Yeah.
I just said perfect.
Perfect. Wow.
I've skated with Brownie perfect. Many times, and that was hard for me to write down.
That must have been tough for you.
He's got one of the best shots I've seen, and he's still doing it at 62.
Rob's giant rocket.
We had the Brown Bomber. It was on the stream. That was a pretty good one.
Oh, that's
well. A good one. I mean, you both are right about different parts of me. I'm gonna go with Struts.
Oh, boo.
I've seen it many times, guys. I have to admit, his shot is something.
Sucking up works. That's
I know good. It was hard. Apparently. It was hard to write it down.
Perfect.
Okay, question number five. We're going to get back to something a little bit more relevant here with the Oilers. Question number five. For the Edmonton Oilers to win a championship this year, put these aspects of their game in order from most important to least important. So I'm going to give you four here. We're going to rank them. And they must match exam. I'm saying right now, you got to get it exactly right to get a point. So here are the four aspects I've identified. Number one, sound defensive play. Number two, great goaltending. Number three, depth scoring. And number four, Connor and Leon going supernova. Rank those by importance to the Oilers winning a championship this year.
Yeah.
I would go with... sound defensive, then goalie, then Connor and Leon, and way, way behind depth.
What the hell? You're an offensive guy. You picked Connor and Leon have gone first.
Connor and Leon have gone supernova the last number of years, and they've gone nowhere in the playoffs.
All right.
Okay. It sounds like Shogger did not get it. Brownie.
I'm not even close. Struds. I had Connor, Leon, goalie, depth scoring, then defensive play, because you always mock me when I bring up how important.
Yeah, but I only mock you because it's fun. I agree with you.
Doesn't mean it's not hurtful, Brownie.
I think that whoever was closer should get the point. I doth protest. What'd I've you got have? D9729 goalie in depth. So I only had the goalie in McDavid and Drysdale swap.
Two and three switch.
Two out of three. I mean, Zuby, it's fine. You made the rules, Zuby. I'm not going to change the rules. No.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with the judges.
Check with the judges there. We're still tied. Okay, Brownie.
Those judges to beat it.
Name one thing that you're terrible at that you wish you were good at.
Oh, that I wish I was good at?
Yeah.
Podcasts.
Having patience with callers.
No, actually, I've got a lot of patience.
Humility.
I've learned.
Humility.
Something that I'm terrible at that I wish I was good at.
Tricep extensions.
I don't know if there's anything I'm terrible at that I want to be good at. Because I'm terrible at goaling, but bowling.
Look at this vanity on display. I can't think of a single thing.
But
he's only good at everything.
No, I'm not saying that. There's things I'm bad at, but I don't really care. Something that I'm terrible at that I wish I was better at.
How about making decisions? Let's go. Are the Oilers playing tonight? Like, it's game time almost.
This is already the longest Zuby went, Jim. We got two more.
Yeah, I wish I was... better at playing an instrument.
Oh, that's okay. Damn it. I should have gone with my gut. Damn it.
I can't read that.
Cooking.
I have cooking.
I think it says looking.
No, that's a C.
That's not a C. That's an ugly
I'm not C. a good cook. I'm not a good looking. Cook, but I that really don't want to like be looking. Better. Okay.
Here it is right here, guys. Skating.
Oh, wait. Actually, I want to redo. That's the one. I really wish I was a better skier.
No, the judges are.
No, I didn't think that.
The judges are not going to like that.
Seriously, I'm kidding. It's still 2-2.
All the time.
Seriously, if there was anything that I really wish I was better at, it would have been skating.
You know what?
That's how well I know my friend.
Half point.
I think we should put it to Struds. If Struds, if you really feel okay about taking that point,
yeah,
I'll give it to you. If you really feel okay about that, because we all know it's BS.
I did
your call.
So I know my buddy really well, and we've talked about it many times. If he was a skater, how it could have maybe been, you know, even better than he was. So I felt badly taking a half point, but I feel fine taking the whole point.
Take the damn point. That's brutal. You guys are such good friends. You know each other better than yourselves.
But seriously, that was, I can't believe I didn't think of that. See, me and my one buddy, we share a brain and he has it tonight. So I didn't think of that, but that is a really good one.
Yeah. That's all bothersome to me that he knows you better than you know you. I want to be that close to you.
Struddy pulls out to an insurmountable lead here, 3-2. Okay. So question number 7. Brownie, I got a feeling with this one. First thing that pops into your head. Okay.
Question number seven. Like me taking my time?
No. I don't think you have to overthink this one. Question number 7. What is your favorite smell?
A fire. Fire at a campfire.
Oh, there you go.
Good one.
Easy pyro.
I put the golf course.
Did you see his face when he said that?
It was intense.
He goes like this. He goes, fire.
Yeah. He did really look up.
I like the fire. I had home baking.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah, you can take that one if you want.
Oh my god, I think I like home baking better than fires. Because
Judges?
I really like home baking.
Are you changing your answer?
Cake. Oh my god, a cake would be so good right now.
Are you changing your answer?
Yes, it's home baking.
No.
Well, you set the standard, Struddy. I don't think I should be allowed to take that point, but I guess that's the game we're playing now. So this comes down to the last question.
This is called the revisionist game. Yeah.
How do you close your eyes? How do you sleep tonight, Shogger?
Yeah.
It's 3-3. This will get spicy too. Okay. So final question. There's 2 points at stake here to begin with. So question number 8, Brownie, if you could steal one attribute from each of your co-hosts sitting on either side of you right now, what would you take from each? It can be anything, and you give us one for each gentleman here sandwiching you in the middle.
Struds, self-confidence.
He's got about 215% extra. He's got more than he needs, that's for sure.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
That was not a compliment, dude. That was not a compliment.
I'm stealing it, so I'm taking it. It means I want it.
No, he knows how much you have to spare, so he's willing to take some off your hands.
Okay, what was it? It was something I'm stealing from them?
Yes.
If you could steal one attribute.
An attribute.
Shona?
She'd take that deal. I guarantee she'd take that deal.
Shoggy, his level-headedness.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Did you say size of head? Sorry, I didn't hear it.
Bob's your uncle says Struddy's punctuality and Ryan's fashion sense. I feel like he might have been being sarcastic on both those fronts because you're always late, Struds, but I think I look fine most of the time. You're always late.
I was late one time.
All right, okay. Struddy, what did you? We're looking for self-confidence and level-headedness or the like.
So probably this isn't going to come off well with my answer for myself, but I said for Shogger, I said dressing. And for Struds, his good looks.
Okay. Goodness sakes. Calls his own number as being good looking. Okay. For Struddy, I have his height / his chest. Oh, Brownie often talks about how big Struddy's chest is.
Oh, it's humongous. It's massive. Oh,
yes, yeah,
you
know.
You can watch a movie on it.
And then for me, my organization / sort of business acumen.
Oh, I don't want any business acumen, no.
Oh, organization. Like, this, doing this mess takes a lot of organization.
Oh, no, I know. You've got great. I just don't want it.
You don't want it.
I don't want to steal that.
Right.
Oh, we ended in a tie. What the hell?
Huh? I think that's fair. I'll take the tie.
And I'll give it a bonus question.
Oh, you have a bonus question.
I'll have a bonus question. What is...
We're so far over time.
I know. Okay, what is my... if I could have one... meal. No, what's my favorite dessert?
Neither.
And you guys go back and forth guessing it. You go back and forth guessing it until somebody gets it
wrong.
You might get it right.
This is not going to break the tie.
Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
I'm about to hold one up and end this segment. Strud, you want to take a crack at the dessert? Go for it quick.
You guys go back and forth until you get it. Strud, you go first.
Apple pie la mode, no.
That's not it, but I like that, though.
He changes his mind. I will go with ice cream.
No. Well, sort of. If it had a chocolate cake with it, vanilla ice cream would have
been.
Did
he just give us the answer? Did he just tell us what it was?
Okay.
Yep. I think were they not supposed to do that?
Let's just split the whole. This call, we each got half. Like, this is going to take...
I'm not happy with that.
I'm playing the ending again. We'll come up with something. We'll flip a coin or something during the break here.
Yeah. Okay. We went too long. You're not allowed to run the animation again. Good job, Zuby.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Oh,
great
thanks,
job,
pal.
Buddy. Thanks, third installment of the Zuby Web game.
I'm disappointed in myself for not having a. We don't have a punishment, and we didn't have a tiebreaker set up. But other than that, I'd say that I nailed it.
The integrity of this game is somewhat in question. When we come back, Brownie's favorite segment, kind of like the dessert of the pod for you, Brownie. The last thing before you get up and walk away from the table, Brownie's dessert is next, also known as Strutty's World. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention is at RedefinedHealth.com.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right, and I'm here, someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They've got locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. See why they've been going strong since 2005. It's just great quality product, and you're going to love it if you get it. Trust me, I've got it. Reliable, unmatched service, high quality North American made products. DLR Vinyl Products. .ca. Struds, what do you got for us, my friend?
Adam Rempe, 4-game suspension. That's what you get when you give a chicken wing, a flying chicken wing at a guy, and he goes down. Now, I think that's the right call by the league. I don't really have a problem with it. And if he wants to hit like that, you know, at times, I think he's a big guy. He's going to have trouble. But let's just back up earlier into that game where McDermott of the Devils wanted to fight him. And he chose not to fight. And that's his right as well. And a lot of people are saying there's a code around fighting. I was in a few dust-ups in my time. Took a few losses, got a couple ties. But the thing is, I don't know if there's a code or not, but I think that you should be able to fight when you want to fight. No problem. If you decide you want to go out there and you want to fight, you can. If you choose not to fight, that's fine as well. But when you're not going to fight the guy, I don't believe you can go out and embarrass him. And so this weekend, if you look at it, after the whole situation with the flying elbow, McDermott comes flying over. Then he's kind of giving – McDermott ends up getting – he has his own issues. And then Rempe's kind of giving him like the bye-bye with the hand. You see supermodels, the way they wave. And I just think in that moment, you skate off because you don't want to embarrass the guy, right? I think you have to understand that's, to me, the code isn't so much win and we don't fight. It's how you treat the other, your adversary, because you don't want him to feel embarrassed because it could be you in that shoes later. So again, I have no problem with Rempe choosing not to fight. He can do whatever he wants. And I was told very young when I was relatively new in the NHL, fight when you want to fight and fight when you're ready to fight, not when the other guy's ready to fight. And I always lived kind of that motto. So Rempe can choose, but again, you can't embarrass him. And I think that was an embarrassing moment. So learning lesson for Rempe. I'm not sure who talks to him about it. Someone's talked to him about fighting. I think just that part of the fighting code has to be maybe discussed with young Adam Rempe.
You know, it's funny. This is because you knew me so well, Struds, in that game. I was doing the broadcasting with the Oilers the whole time you were. I've never seen you lose a fight with the Oilers. Never did lose a fight with the Oilers. So with the whole thing, I agree with you 100%. You get to choose when you fight until you do something stupid. And he went out the flying elbow, injured a New Jersey Devil player. At that point, you have to fight. If you're going to do something stupid, you have to fight. And the one thing I always learned right from day one, you never embarrass anyone, let alone the other team's tough guy. You just don't embarrass a tough guy. Like, that's just asking for trouble. If I am a New York Ranger, I'm going in the dressing room and I'm having a conversation with Rempe and saying, "Kay, that's not how you act as a pro. That's not how you act as a tough guy." And I would get a message across to the New Jersey Devils, say to someone on that team that, we talked to him. That will not happen again. So to me, he didn't have to fight at the beginning of the game, but when he threw that flying elbow and hurt a player on the New Jersey Devils, at that point, I do believe he has to fight.
Yeah, and excellent points you make, Struds, and your perspective on it is hugely valuable. I guess maybe what I would say is this. I think to do that, I would assume there's a certain, kind of wiring for some that is needed. And this young guy is new in the league. He's made some real headlines and made some waves and fighting some really tough guys. And I think you got to be wired a certain way to do that. And sometimes that wiring in tense moments, in moments where the spotlight's on you, maybe it just kind of makes you act a little bit funny, right? Like, chances are he knows he's not supposed to do that. And probably not something he's made a habit of, but Struds, you would be able to answer this better than anybody. Like, it's not easy to go and do that, I would imagine. And it's not easy to just know the right things to do all the time when you're in that kind of intensity and that kind of moment. And sometimes the wiring is a little off for guys that are wired to do this regularly. And so I agree, shouldn't have done it, completely agree. But I also think it's kind of a crazy, insane part of the game. And it doesn't surprise me when wires touch and things go a little wonky with some of the guys that are there to do that.
Yeah, the first couple of times you go through a situation like this, you don't really know how to handle it. And I'll go, my first ever exhibition game with the Islanders, there was a line brawl. And Brant Myers, who lives here in Edmonton, he came out of the box, if I remember, out of their bench, and went and just went crazy. And I was just standing there like, I couldn't believe what was going on. I remember our coach just yelling, saying, "Get in there, get in there." I'm like, "Oh yeah." And it kind of jolts me back in. I went flying in there, but you're so surprised. You're like, "I can't believe this is happening." Right. So I think for Rempe Hill, you collect these experiences and you kind of change as you go along. I don't want to be dismissive of the elbow, but the elbow, anyone, it could have been Connor Bedard throwing a flying elbow at someone. So that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about specifically the choice to fight or not to fight, and how you react after.
Yeah, just in that moment, you've turned down the fight, you've done something dumb, you've kind of hurt your team, the spotlight is on you, and you just react. You just react and do something dumb. I'm sure he'll end up regretting it, and, my guess is probably don't see something like that again, and, he's learning lessons. I guess I'm just kind of sympathetic because I just feel like that's crazy, not easy to do, and he's not going to do it perfect, and I think the elder statesmen and the people that I've experienced with it, like yourself, Struds, or whoever might be in his orbit right now, can kind of help him through that. But great point you make tonight in Struddy's world. Brownie, fun podcast tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
See you guys later.
All right. Take care, my friend. That is a great Rob Brown, who, by the way, his appearances on the podcast are brought to you by Kin Print, helping you push your business brand to the next level. Look at that freeze frame. That is an amazing freeze frame of Rob Brown. I just want to keep that up for the rest of the show. when we come back, Struds and I are going to take a lap and then ask us anything as well. Stick around.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavor rums on the planet. And they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Time for Struddy and I to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet, has gotten even better. Check it out. Engineered for back shaving, the new friction fit handle allows you to snap the thing in and out. That means you can use it on other parts of your body as well. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Go to backscape.com. If you use the promo code GYB10, you'll get 10% off your first order on any of the kits on their website. That's backscape.com. Promo code GYB10. That's Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. Struddy, where are we going?
The Red Wings are a team I thought were going to make a pretty big step forward this year, and they did to start. But tonight, with the loss to Buffalo, 7-3 loss, they now have lost six in a row. That's the bad news. The good news is that they're still tied with the Islanders. I think it's 72 points or whatever. They're right there. They're tied for this in second place in the wild card standings, and just 2 points behind Tampa Bay. But you know, losing six in a row at any time isn't good. But this time of the year, we start kind of really jockeying for a position. And unfortunately allowing other teams to catch you and now make it a more fight. Imagine they even went 500. That's six more points. Now they're 6 points up on the Islanders, but the Islanders have found a bit of a resurgence here. But for the Red Wings, shocker, I'm surprised that this is where they're at, especially you just go back 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, you look through their lineup and they've assembled a pretty good roster, right? Like they've got some real good players in there. DeBrincat's obviously a good player. Patrick Kane was brought in there. You know, Raymond's a decent player. On the back end, they've got some real nice defensemen. That Sider is one of the better young defensemen in the league. Like, you know, Petrie's still got a fair amount of game left. Like, they've done a pretty good job of turning that. And for them to have a slip like this at this point in the season, it's tough too, right? You go into the – when you're right on the verge of being in or not in, like, your management, what do you do? How do you handle it? You know, how do you know? How do you believe in the group? What messages do you send? So just a really weird time of year and a tough time of year for a team that wants to be in to get a little wobbly on the wheels here.
Yeah, and Larkin's been out too, right? So that doesn't help. Point your captain's out, so that makes a pretty big difference. Up number two, a great story about a local to Edmonton, a St. Albert product. Zach Ostapchuk played his first NHL game, second round pick to Ottawa. Nice. And yeah, he actually had, he played almost 13 minutes and he's out there in overtime and made a nice play, stealing the puck from Sidney Crosby and gets it up. Doesn't get an assist. He ends up changing, but Ottawa end up scoring on this, on what was his kind of breakup of in their own zone. So a great story. And I'm telling you, this guy is going to play a long time in the NHL, a long time. He's big. He's got some skill. A little bit Adam Lowry-ish, if you're kind of looking for a comparable. Maybe,
yeah.
I think he's a solid third liner. Maybe he moves up a little bit. I mean, it's his first game. I don't want to get too ahead of himself. But Brownie and I both worked with this young guy, and our biggest goal is not to make him worse when we had him for a couple years at a local school. A
couple of stints with the World Junior team. 3 points in 7 games in his in each of his appearances.
Yeah.
Struz, what's it like? Because you work with youth in this city, right? Like, you spend a lot of time developing young players and from, you know, all different ages and such. What's it like for you when someone who you spent time working with actually makes it? Like, it's got to be a pretty neat feeling for you.
It is. And I want to make it clear, like, I'm not taking any credit for.
No, not at all.
Zach, I was on the ice with him. Yes. I was, you know, I was on with him, you know, trying to help out. But I just feel a sense of pride for them. It has nothing to do with me. I just want them to live out their goals. And you see, you know, any sport, but, if, you know, specifically in hockey, when someone puts that much time and heart and soul and sacrifice and all those things to really make it, and to see him make it, it was great. You know, I was so happy to see he got called up, and you know, I maybe talk to him every now and then, but I just so happy mm-hmm. for him. So really just proud for him and his family, because it's a major sacrifice to be a really elite at any sport, but locally here, hockey seems to be near the top.
Very cool moment for a local product. Nice touch there, Strud, shining a spotlight on the youngster, Zach Ostapchuk. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Final segment of the podcast is coming up after a very short break. Zuby has been collecting your comments. Ask Us Anything is coming.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Time now for Ask Us Anything, and we mean anything. It can be hockey, movies, lifestyle, what your favorite nuts are, food, culinary. We're diverse in our thought process here, so any questions you have for us. Rini Buchlan, the Shark of the Park, is the one that brings this segment to us. Voted the number one individual agent for 2 years in a row. That's impressive. You'll see why when you see her commitment to providing her clients with professional services, skilled negotiating, experience and knowledge of Sherwood Park, Edmonton, and surrounding area. Give her a call, 780-994-0280. That is Rini Buchlan, the Shark of the Park. Love that nickname, Zuby. Hop back in, my friend. How did the game go over on the stream? Were we getting chirped, or did people enjoy?
I think it was largely enjoyed. The people were active with giving some of their responses as well. David Supina said, how can a man so well acquainted with Catan design a game with no tiebreaker? There are no ties in Catan, he says. So I'll take his word for it.
It is the Zuby Wed game. It's not the Shoggy Wed game. I think this is your responsibility. I'm not micromanaging.
This is true. Do you guys want? Someone did suggest you guys do a rock paper scissors for it. Or are we just happy with the tie? That's like a shootout kind of.
I would feel better knowing if there was a win or a loss. I don't like tying with Strads. I like, we golfed and there was domination the day that we played a full round, and I felt good about that for months and after that. So I like a clear winner and a loser.
Okay, let's do it. Best of one.
Sure, buddy. It's your call. Let's do it. Best of one.
Let's see those. And we're going to go rock, paper, scissors, shoot. So it's on shoot. Okay.
Here we
go. Best of one for the whole thing. Ready, rock?
Whoa, your timing. Okay, here we go.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay,
we're
going to start. Okay, let's go. Okay, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, here we go.
This is where our lag goes. Okay.
Okay.
Ready? Rock, paper, scissors. Okay. You do it, Strets. You
do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, ready?
It's because there's a play.
You guys call it, yeah.
Rock, paper, scissor, shoot.
I can't see your hands.
Hold it up. You won, Sugar. Oh, my goodness.
Still I'll play winless.
The thing again. Down. Congratulations. All right,
5 minutes of Ask Us Anything.
Let's rock and roll, Strudy.
Sleep well tonight, Struds. Sleep well.
All right, let's get to some very important stuff. DB Mad Dog says, which would be more fun, catching the Canucks or Vegas missing the playoffs altogether? You don't root, Shaggy. What do you think would be, however you want to frame it, what's the bigger story? What do you think secretly the Oilers might be more excited about internally?
What? Read the first part again.
Catching the Canucks for first in the division or Vegas missing the playoffs altogether?
Oh, yeah. They're both. The Vegas missing the playoffs would be some juicy story for Oiler fan to just sink their teeth into. So I think, you know, for Oiler fans, I think that would probably, there'd be more meat on the bone to talk about that one. For the Oil, yeah, not having Vegas in the playoffs, Strudy, would be significant, I think, in that Oiler locker room. You know, when no one's listening and they're talking, that'd be a big deal.
Yeah, I think it'd be a shocker. I think that for the league, the Oilers catching the Canucks, I don't think it really would make a big difference. Like, it's not going to register much. No. But if Vegas doesn't make the playoffs, or if they were to miss the playoffs, that would be a massive, massive story. So I think that's the one. And then just for the Oilers, I don't know. I don't think they really – I mean, I guess they're a rival. Are they that big a rival, though? Maybe. I guess they knocked them out. But I don't think they're that big a rival.
Little bit of talk, just going back to the deadline, talking about the as it relates to the division. EA said the division is possible. Playoff success, I'm not confident, based on a soft trade deadline by the Oil. Leaky 37 on the other side of that says we got what we needed at deadline week, and the big swings often don't turn into anything. So obviously we discussed the moves at the deadline, but what's your, if you were looking at those two statements, what's your overall feel? Good deadline, they did enough, or they should have gone for a bigger swing somewhere?
I'll take it. I think that they did just what they needed to do. They added more depth. You know, I think they added a guy who I think people are really going to like, in Adam Henrique. I really do think that. So I think they did what they needed to do. And I agree. There's no guarantee of playoff success, but just ask the Leafs last year when they traded, seemed for everybody, and everyone was going to have they're going to run the table. Well, it didn't work out that well.
I think they came up a bit short. I don't think there was a marked improvement on the blue line, and they didn't get themselves a surefire top six forward. So there's still some ambiguity about what it looks like in the top two lines. And I think given the extent that this is truly, truly the year, like the Stanley Cup window is wide open for this group right now, they certainly didn't overdo it. So I would say not flashy, functional, but maybe came up a little bit short in what would have been ideal. And quite frankly, we know it to be true because they wanted Eberle and didn't get him and didn't get anyone else. And that was after Henrique and Carrick were both here.
Saber Cove says, Broberg looks like a great defensive player. I'm so confused why he hasn't been brought up in case of a CC or Vinny struggle before a playoff run, just to get a look, or an injury. This seemed to be staying the course, but are you surprised, or do you think he might still get a look before we get to the playoffs, Struds?
They have their six guys, and their six guys are playing. You know, they're playing. It's just, which one did you take out? Right? Who are you taking out? So unless there's an injury, I believe that this will be what's rolling. And it is unfortunate for Broberg. I do think Broberg and Holloway will both be day one to day game 82 in the team next year. But you just don't, who are you going to take out and why?
Yeah, I mean, I would be hypocritical to say that they should have him here and not be playing him. Like, I was screaming from the hilltops with both he and Holloway that there's no point in having him here if you're not going to be playing them, and there's no way you're taking anyone out on the left side and playing them on right, I don't think is the right way to be integrating them. So Philip Broberg is precisely where Philip Broberg needs to be. And as for the idea that he'll be in the order lineup right from day one on next season, yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. We'll wait and see. Don't forget, there was a time where the player clearly wanted out. And that doesn't just disappear in the offseason. If anything, it comes back to the forefront, especially if that player didn't have the opportunity to play in the most meaningful game. So I don't know that just disappears. So we'll see on next season.
Blake Giblin, or Giblin possibly, I'm going to say Giblin, says, Giblin. Question for Struds. Would you rather clear waivers or get claimed? So I guess maybe the question would be, were you ever on waivers? And what's the general, you know, that must be a kind of an uneasy feeling to be on waivers and know that you could just be somewhere else the next day.
Yeah, I never was put on waivers, but if I would have been on waivers, I would have wanted to get picked up. Because I think you want to still play in the NHL and maybe another opportunity somewhere else. And if someone's picking you up, even if it's just for a short window, you'll have a chance at what you can do. So I would have wanted a bit of pickup for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like when a team, they only have so many roster spots. They only have so many, and they can't pick you up and throw you in the minors. Like when you get picked up, you're going to the NHL, are you not, Struds? Like you're staying in the show.
That's right. That's
so, right. So, yeah, yeah, you got a team says, yes, we want you and we have a spot for you. I would assume that would make a guy's day. Yeah.
Sabrekova is kind of, he's just come back on here. He kind of said something about this earlier. Maybe it's hard to say this without knowing the Oilers' playoff fate, but he basically said, do you think do you have any thoughts on McDavid or Draisaitl's potential extensions and how you think that might have been affected by them looking like in a position where they might miss the playoffs in the first third of the season versus whatever the end result, you know, will be, but certainly that it looks like they're going to be in now. Do you think them missing the playoffs would have had a major effect on either of their chance of re-signing with the team?
I'll hop in first. Yes. I think missing the playoffs would have been disastrous in the whole idea of getting Leon Draisaitl to re-sign. As for, you know, almost missing, I don't think that necessarily has an effect. This is a tough one. We're going to spend the whole off season talking about this. I'm not sure which way this is going to go. I'm really not. I think it's going to be a big number to make it work. And the fundamental question is, if he's not signing this summer, are the Oilers walking him into his final year, or do they have to move him before you can, you know, walk him into that final year? So I don't know the answer. It's a big question. We'll do entire podcasts on this one, Struds.
I had no thought at all that Scheifele and Hellebuyck signing with Winnipeg when they did. And they chose to stay there with that team. And so I think that, you know, good players do re-sign long contracts in Canada. And so I you know, when I see that, you know, it makes me think more than likely those guys will be back. But again, I'm just guessing, completely guessing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last one, something fun. Machine Gun Yanmark says, who is the best party guy in the NHL community? He says, I've been on the dance floor with Noodles and feel like he's got to be near the top. Who is an awesome party guy, Struds? Who's the legendary party guy?
Honestly, Struds is up there too, Zuby. Like Struds is known to, whether it's a dance floor, whether it's a karaoke microphone, you know, it's not uncommon to walk into an outing and for there to be a lampshade on this guy's head and a microphone in his hand.
Falling out Strutty of a hot
gets honorable
tub.
Mention.
Yeah, but I learned almost everything I learned from Noodles, or I know from Noodles. He was the bad influence on me. I was a willing participant, but he was a bad influence on me. But he is, I think, widely accepted as one of the funnest guys to be with.
And stories. I mean, he has unbelievable stories that he tells on the podcast when he comes on. And Struds, that's one that he can tell. The stories that Noodles has overall are off the charts, man.
Funniest guy I've ever
seen. He's an absolute beauty. All right, nice job, Zuby. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Time now for our gem of the night. Strutty, do you have something in mind, or what are your thoughts on that? We had some good moments during the Zuby Wed game.
Yeah, I thought somewhere in the Zuby Wed game there had to be a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
You know what? I might go.
You made me laugh. I'm just going to call it here.
Okay.
Your comment where you said 6 and 7s get paid nice. 4s and 5s get paid nicer. You were talking about the defense. That made me laugh. Dark. So that was our gem of the night. Big thanks, Zuby. You did a great job tonight, buddy. You had a lot of responsibility tonight. Yeah. Outside of one minor little glitch coming out of break, that was a tight show, and you did a good job hosting the game.
And that was just a breath. I was just letting you guys take a breath there coming out of break. So thank you. I appreciate that.
So zero mistake.
It's a clean sheet as far as I'm concerned.
All right. I'm taking my win and getting the hell out of here. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Got Your Back, presented by our fabulous title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Oilers and the Washington Capitals tomorrow night. We will have a post-game pod right after. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.